This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. When you drink Le Bleu, you're only getting two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Le Bleu is the leading choice for hydration with a patented process that removes impurities and ensures the highest level of purity possible. Unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu's Ultra Pure filtration system provides water that is free from contaminants and infused with only the essentials your body needs. So whether you're at home, on the go, or working hard, Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water offers a refreshing, crisp taste with every sip. It's going to give you the hydration you need without the worry. So make the smart choice today and experience the difference of Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. You can find out more and order online at Le Bleu, that's LEBLEU.com, and make sure when you check out, you tell them the Clearview Today show sent you. You can use promo code TODAY at checkout to get 10% off your next order. It's going to save you money, and it's going to support all of us here at the Clearview Today Show. So stay hydrated, stay healthy, and without further ado, let's start the show.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinandan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis. Welcome to the Clearview Today studio. Got a great conversation on the books for you guys today. But before we do anything else, we want to welcome our host, Dr. Abhinandan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, I salute you with the American
and
spirit.
Eagle tamer.
That was supposed
eagle.
To be applause,
wow.
But I hit the wrong one. But you know what? There it is. I'm feeling patriotic today, Dr.
Wow.
Shah. Welcome to the studio.
That's the reveille, right?
Yes, that's reveille.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a great morning here at the Clearview Today Barracks. We're very happy to see you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank
let me
you
give you the sound effect
so
you deserve. That's
much.
The one I was
okay.
looking for. There it
barracks.
Is. Thank you, studio audience. You guys went to sleep, but now we're back. Very good to see you.
I really appreciate these guys. Appreciate your hard work, your creativity, your sense of humor. That's one thing I hear often from people. Even if they disagree with something I may have said, there's like, but I love the show because it's funny.
Mm.
And I'm like, thank you.
We wanted,
keep listening.
That's we right. wanted that, man. Like a lot of times, I hate to say this because I never want to talk bad about anybody's show. I'm not saying anybody's show in particular, but we watched a lot of like Christian shows to try to...
They're boring.
They're just boring.
Some of them... Yeah,
they're boring.
Some of them just seem like... And if you're just talking to the choir, okay, then we all agree with everything you're saying.
Right, right.
Thank you. But if we're talking, our goal is to talk to people who would otherwise not listen to a show like this.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So as they're listening, as they're entertained, and as they are laughing and opening their mouth, we're dropping that medicine.
Well, right. You told me one time, like, that's even a part of just being a good leader. Like, you,
right.
like a lot of pastors will get up in the pulpit and they think, it doesn't matter how I preach. It doesn't matter. As long as I preach the truth, people are going to come.
Right, that's not true.
Right, that's true, because people are getting truth. They're getting truth from lots of other places.
Right.
And it's not like you have to stand out to push yourself, but man, if you have a message worth pushing,
absolutely,
why wouldn't you?
That's right. It's like I can cook steak and I can cook potato, but then I go to a nice restaurant and they dress it up. Now, right. of course, there are people who will be, the purist will say, I don't need all that. I don't need your cilantro on the side. I don't need the basil leaf, and I don't need any mint or anything. Just give me my steak and potato and get out of the way. I get it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And hopefully some people will listen to our show and be like, there you go. 10 minutes into it, you get the steak and potato.
That's right. That's right.
Some people are like, no, I want all the garnish. I want the presentation.
Man.
I want somebody to bring it and for me to go, wow, let's take a picture first.
Right.
Well,
right,
look at
right.
the number of clientele too. People aren't lining up in your kitchen to have you cook steak and potatoes for them. They're lining
right.
up where they put all the garnishes on.
That's right, man. That's right. Do you take pictures of your food before you eat it? Really good.
If I'm traveling somewhere, especially out of the country, and the food is different than what I would typically eat,
uh-huh.
absolutely taking pictures.
Yep. So there was a TikTok trend a while back where like girls were taking pictures of their food for Instagram, and before they could get the picture, their boyfriend or their husband would like put the spoon in there and like mess
up.
If Nicole did that to you, would you be like, ah, whatever?
Well,
like,
she actually takes pictures.
She's the one that takes the pictures of the food.
She takes sometimes even pictures here. Not always. Not always, but sometimes she'll even take pictures here. Depends on where we're eating.
It's a prepackaged salad.
Yeah. Yeah. But if we're going to a nice fancy place, then she will be like, oh, let me get a picture of this.
Yeah, sometimes the presentation matters.
Absolutely.
I love it. Well, Dr. Shah, today's check-in is coming to us from Angelo D. from right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Well, we're not in Raleigh, but pretty close.
Near, in our backyard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Dr. Shah, I just wanted to say your weekly wisdom really hit home yesterday. If you're listening for the first time, Dr. Shah's weekly wisdom yesterday was it takes time to develop yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Angelo says, I've been feeling frustrated like I should be further along in my career and my personal life, but hearing your encouragement helped me take a breath and realize God is still working on me, and it's okay if things don't happen overnight. Thanks for the encouragement. I really needed that. Angelo from Raleigh.
Ooh. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And yeah. I know yesterday's show for a while seemed like we had gone off on a tangent. We were talking about things taking time. And then before you know it, we're talking about education.
Right.
And we're talking about my education and our family and how Nicole. But we all came back to where we started, which is things may take time.
That's right.
But if you have captured God's vision for your life, if you know what God is calling you to do, then it doesn't matter. Time is irrelevant at that point.
That's right. Mm.
Think about Moses. 40 years of age, he begins to do what he knew was the right thing to do, for which he was rescued from the Nile River. And he begins to go out to help his people and realizes this is not the time. Mm-hmm. He was not wrong for doing that.
Right, right.
People sometimes say, you know, Moses did that and that's not what God wanted him to do and God wanted him to trust him. No, it was not. The Bible never condemns Moses for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, Bible compliments him for being willing to give up the passing pleasures of this life to suffer with his people. Mm-hmm. When he did what he did, he was ready to suffer with his people.
That's right.
But God had to work on the people. They were not ready to leave Egypt. And so he goes to the backside of the desert. There he is for 40 years. And again, people have a lot of, you know, they come up with a lot of ideas like God was working on him and he was learning how to lead sheep. And that may be very true, but doesn't tell us that in this text.
Right. Right, right.
We can conjecture and say, well, he was learning how to lead sheep. And maybe that's true. But I think in some ways, God was also developing him into a seasoned leader.
That's right.
Not a 40-year-old young man, all this time raised to be an Egyptian prince, all of a sudden leading the Hebrew. It seems okay in a sense, but it was really not how people follow someone if they're going to leave everything behind. I mean, would you do that?
No.
would I do that? Leave everything and follow behind some 40-year-old dude who's like, hey, I'm going to lead you out of this place. I know because I'm the general of the Egyptian army. I'm the next in line to be the Pharaoh. Come follow me.
I don't think so, man. It sounds like a trap.
I don't know about this.
Yeah. Sounds like a trap, man.
But if you have a seasoned, experienced person with a long beard and wisdom, and that person says, I'm 80 years old, and I know this journey, and I know where we're going, and God is with me. Watch this miracle. Watch this miracle. Okay.
That's somebody I can follow.
I mean, think about what he did. He led millions of Hebrews out of Egypt.
That's right.
That is mind-blowing.
Yeah. And I think in our Western society, it's really difficult for us to think about, because the consequence of that is they had to stay in slavery. The Israelites had to stay in slavery for another 40 years while one man works on his development. And I think we've got it so backwards where we're like, well, that's unjust. How could a just God allow that? You've talked about this on the show before, where the founding fathers knew that slavery was a moral sin. Look, we're talking about America now. The founding fathers knew that it was a moral sin. And yet, it would have been an unwise thing to fight for at that time.
At that time.
At that time. They knew that it wasn't the right time.
Right. And how do you know that? Well, read their letters.
That's right.
Yeah. Read their correspondence. Because some people were like, let's do it now. This is the time. And some of the others said, it needs to happen. And it needs to happen. But that's a fight for another day. Because if we go at it, we will not be able to unite against the British army.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The British are too powerful, too experienced, too organized. They have all the resources. If we say, let's throw slavery in the equation, we're going to fall apart.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So it's not like it was right or wrong. It was more of timing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'll think a lot of that. That's kind of coming into what Angelo is saying here when he's writing in, is that sometimes
waiting for God's timing is not hesitation. I would say if you're waiting on God's timing, it's not hesitation at all. It's wisdom.
Right.
And that's why I was under Dr. Shaw's weekly wisdom.
That's right. And, you know, we wait on God to develop us, and we wait on God to have us step into the right moment. But one thing we can't wait on is when it's time to play pick it up and preach.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You got to jump right into
what
it. Welcome
segue,
to
my friend.
Pick It Up and Preach.
I'm ready.
Easily become one of my favorite segments.
This is a fun one. I enjoy this one. So Pick It Up and Preach, for those of you who have not seen this on the show before, is where there are two random objects and two of us. Today it's going to be Dr. Sean and John.
I thought it was going to be all two.
You want to do it? All right,
okay.
Cool. So you want to hand Dr. Shaw the props? Where's the props at?
So the props are right here next to me.
Oh, well,
so
you just hand them to us?
We've got fly swatter and a tape measure.
Ooh.
Our task is to take just a couple seconds and come up with an impactful object lesson or spiritual truth that relates us back to our walk with God.
These are tough. Which one do you want?
I'll let you choose.
Oh, man, I don't know. I feel like if I hesitate, I'll start thinking of things. Give me the fly swatter.
Okay.
Okay. All right. You want to go first?
I can go first.
Yeah, you go first. I need
you
it.
Threw him in there.
Yeah. I can go first. All right, so this is a Craftsman tape measure. This is a heavy-duty one, 35-foot. It's got a set amount of tape in here, and you can only measure a certain amount. And sometimes in our lives, we can feel like we don't measure up to the status that's been laid out before us or the criteria that the world gives. But when we are used in our proper context, we are exactly the tool that God needs to accomplish the job that he's created us for. So this could measure the height of an entire building, but it could certainly measure across a room, which is what it was designed to do. So just remember that God created you on purpose for a purpose.
My goodness, man. Excellent object.
Great job.
Excellent work. Okay. So I've got a fly swatter here. Now, there's lots of things in life that are going to come against us, right? We're going to have all sorts of health problems, financial problems, big, big things. But then there's also little things, you know, little misunderstandings that you have with people, little annoying little gnats that get into our lives. Now, what we want to do is we want to start grabbing at them, right? We want to start using our bare hands, but they're too quick. They come too quick and they catch us off guard. They hit us. God has given us a tool, and that's his word, right? Mm. To actually swat those little flies right out of our life.
That's right.
Fly swatter, it looks like just a hunk of plastic, but this is prayer. This is God's word. And so when those little things come against us, we can just swat them at it.
Is it prayer? Is it God's word?
Great question, Dr. Shaw. That's a great, great question. you know, I really feel as though...
it's whatever will work for this.
Yeah, it could
this
be
example.
Both. This might be the first fail on Pick It Up and Preach. I'm going to go ahead and take the L on this one.
No, I get to decide.
You were good.
I think both of them are very, very good. The measure was excellent, measuring up to God's standards, and then swatting. Yeah, of course. There are many times you have to swat them away. Swat them away
with
Jesus'
with
name.
That's right. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Be gone.
Amen.
That's Pick It Up and Preach, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Amen. Doctor, you want to read our verse of the day?
I would love to. Verse of the day today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
I think that what's in that middle there really speaks to me. It's yes, we implore you on Christ's behalf, but it's as though God is pleading. Mm. There's an urgency to the gospel, Dr. Shaw. There's there's a real need. There's a danger, you know, and God's wrath is that danger, but it's God's wrath against a very real and present enemy in our lives, which is sin.
Yeah. That's right.
And
that's
we've been
right.
talking about that through the book of Romans.
Well, reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel. That's why God came. That's why Jesus came in this world to reconcile us to God. But 2 Corinthians talks about the ministry of reconciliation.
That's right.
And I hope we will not be troublemakers. We'll always strive to make peace.
That's right. That's right.
With God and with each other.
That also makes you think twice about what you say and how you say it. If we are ambassadors for Christ and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, am I using my words? Am I using the platform that God has given me or the ordained opportunities that are placed before me to draw people back into a relationship with him?
You know, we take the people that we represent on earth, or at least we should. We take them very seriously. You know what I mean? Like, I don't go posting all of this stuff online because I'm an ambassador of Clearview Church, right? I'm an ambassador of Dr. Shaw. When we go out places and we talk to people, especially like when we go places like NRB and we're networking, we're talking to people, you're very clear in your mind, okay, I'm an ambassador of this church or this organization. And yet I feel like a lot of Christians, myself included, don't take it as seriously that we're ambassadors of Christ. It's almost as if it goes without saying to the point where we don't even think about it.
Right.
We don't think about being Christ's representatives with our daily lives.
That's right. That's right. And that's what we should always remember as we interact with people, good, bad, and ugly. So good interactions, great. But then there are interactions that are not good. And then there are those interactions that are in between.
Yeah.
Where you are tempted to say something or lash out or at least make that one remark that would cut somebody because of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they may be, you may be justified in doing that, but I hope you will always look at everything you do as that you are an ambassador of Christ.
That's right.
And sometimes you have to be willing to be wronged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul talks about that, I believe, in Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if you're wronged.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, I'm not saying it's okay to be wronged in the sense of somebody trying to rob a bank or abuse a child or whatever. Oh, it's okay to be wronged. No, in those situations, of course, you have to take action.
Right.
But when it comes to personal wrongs, mm-hmm. you know, be willing to be wronged.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's hard to do.
That's
because
very tough.
We are quick to come to our own defense and quick right. to prove that we're right. We
That's
be
right.
willing to be wronged.
Well, I think people also underestimate what it takes to be an ambassador of Christ. Like, I remember when I got saved, it was very much this understanding that once I become a Christian, now I'm on the straight and narrow. Things are looking up.
Mm-hmm.
Life will only ever have this upward trajectory. And the idea that a Christian has this constant battle, this constant conflict within themselves, was something that was kind of foreign when I started reading the book of Romans, like as a new Christian, and then kind of dropping the book of Romans for a long time because I felt like it was foundational and therefore simple, like elementary.
Yeah, I'm past this.
Sense.
I need to move
right,
on.
Right, right, right. Coming back to the book of Romans through this series, Dr. Shaw, has really helped me understand that this war within Christians, the struggle that we have, is not contradictory to any of these things that we've talked about. Like being an ambassador, being a representative, doesn't mean like now I have to have my best foot forward and I've got to look the part enough. Like that struggle comes along with being a representative of Christ, that
Absolutely.
War within ourselves.
So, going back to the book of Romans, Paul is teaching this church in Rome, made up of Gentile background and Jewish background believers, that they have a common salvation in Christ,
mm-hmm.
and they have this common resources, and the resource they have to fight against the spirit of sin is the Holy Spirit of God.
That's right.
And so he begins Romans chapter 1 by doing a little historical survey of how sin came into this world and how various civilizations and cultures have denied God, turned to idolatry, and then God himself gave them over to sexual immorality, to homosexuality, and then the floodgates are opened and every kind of vice has come into the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then the culture literally exploded or just disintegrated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then he turns towards the Jewish people because they were given the law. They were given the commandment. So Gentiles had the law of conscience. We have, or Jewish people, or the people of Israel had the law of Moses.
Right.
But either way, we're all guilty before God.
Right.
We're all born dead in trespasses and sins. As of course, that's coming from Ephesians. But Paul then begins to explain to them how the gospel has come,
mm-hmm.
and how they are to leave the family of Adam and go into the family of the new Adam, Jesus. Everywhere that Adam failed, Jesus passed the test.
That's right.
And so now we are to die in the family of Adam and be born into the family of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When we are saved, when we receive Christ as our Savior, that happens. That's to be received by faith.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dying from the family of Adam, being born into the family of Christ, is not something you have to do. It is applied to you when you receive Christ as your Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Your job and my job is simply to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 6:11.
Mm-hmm.
The word reckon is the Greek word logizomai.
Mm.
It's a mathematical term. It implies calculation. So, in a sense, Paul is saying, just count it.
Mm-hmm.
Just accept it. Just believe that you have died to sin, but you are now alive to God in Christ Jesus.
This may be a discussion for another day, but it kind of reminds me of something that we were talking about even yesterday, or maybe it was on the Friday show, but that faith, believing, is not the same as not understanding. That Christianity, by nature, is a faith of understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think that what people tend to do is take that word believe or reckon, like you have to, by faith, just trust. Even though you don't understand, you just trust. And that's not at all what Paul is saying.
You see this a lot of times in people taking the stance of like, I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that theology stuff. It's just me and Jesus and my walk with him. And there's a sense in which, you know, we need to believe without having evidence presented to us. But also, there is evidence, there is proof out there. And Christianity, like you said, Dr. Shaw, is a thinking faith.
And absolutely.
One of my very favorite things about your style of preaching is that you help people answer questions they don't even know they should be asking. Mm. So you lead them to the question and the answer for that question before they even can dig right. or would think to dig on their own.
And that's because it's coming from the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Because this is the manual for life. This is the manual for eternal life.
Right.
So any of the questions that I'm answering are the questions that people in general have been asking since the beginning of time, since sin came into this world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those questions have been providentially answered by God in his word. So when I'm asking those questions or answering those questions, they're not even asking. And then they go, yeah, I should be asking that question.
Do you feel as though, like, a lot of people who start digging deep, start trying to understand, start reckoning, like you're talking about, and start really digging deep into believing, they're the ones who end up finding the most struggle in the Christian life? Like, they feel like it's the opposite, right? Like, the more I dive into God's word, the more I should be blessed.
I won't say necessarily there's more struggle, but the struggle is the same. We all have struggles.
Right.
But when you start reckoning or start believing that you died to sin and you're alive to God in Christ Jesus, there will be a fight to keep you from reckoning. Mm. So it's not like problems start happening.
Right.
I think the problem's already happening. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes that can happen where when you come close to God, Satan will attack you more.
Right.
He will attack your family, your finances, your emotional and mental well-being, your friendships. He's going to do that. And we find a great example of that in the book of Job.
Great point.
In the book of Job, mm-hmm. he did that to Job and his family. But here what we're talking about is the fight that begins the moment you start believing these foundational truths of the Christian life.
Mm. It's one of the things that people really, maybe they do take it into account, but I don't think as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think people look at it with this upward, and I don't think that's a wrong thing, but they look at it with this upward trajectory, like, I think now that I'm diving in, it's all up from here. Mm-hmm. And then when the fight comes to them, maybe their guard is down, or maybe they're right. unprepared for it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
I wasn't expecting this to be difficult, or maybe I wasn't expecting this to be as difficult so quickly.
Yeah.
What encouragement would you offer people who are maybe in that season right now where I've just started following God, or I've just gotten serious about my faith, and it seems like one thing after another, like I'm at this point, I'm just waiting on the other shoe to drop.
Great, great question. Your purpose in the middle of the fight is to look to Christ.
Good point.
And this is not something that Paul crafted out. This is something you always find.
Mm-hmm.
You find it in the Old Testament, because Old Testament and New Testament are one book. It's not the old as in it's done with and new that is applicable now, but Old and New Testament are simply one book mm-hmm. that is God's word to us. So if you go to the time in the wilderness, since we were talking about Moses mm-hmm. in the beginning, if you go in the time of the wilderness when those serpents came into the mm-hmm. camp, mm-hmm. as many were dying, God instructed Moses to make a bronze serpent and hold him up.
That's right.
And their job was to look to him, mm-hmm. to look to that that object.
Mm-hmm.
And those who were willing to look to that object lived.
Right.
And in fact, later on, Jesus even uses that analogy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just and as Moses
just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also the Son of Man will be lifted up.
That's yeah. right.
So what I'm saying here is not like, oh, clever. That's pretty clever what Pastor Shaw or Dr. Shaw has done in finding these parallels. No, this is actually authenticated by Jesus himself.
Jesus, right. Jesus himself pointed out the parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Which means this is one book, one story. And so in this particular situation, looking to Jesus is the answer.
That's right.
And that has always been the answer.
Even throughout the Old Testament. I mean, you talked about Moses. We see that throughout the pages of history. It wasn't like the people in the Old Testament were just sort of foggy about what was going to happen, about God's plan for salvation. No, they knew who and what they were to look for.
That's right. Look to Jesus. And what happens when you look to him? As Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. So typically people try to look inwards and see their failures and their weaknesses or their past memories of hurts and pains. No, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It means the focus, the direction is not towards self, it's towards Jesus.
That's right.
And he's the Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the Jesus, not just a Jesus who is a social reformer,
right,
or Jesus who is just a loving, wonderful person. No, he's the one who died on the cross for our sins because of his love for us.
Amen. Amen. I think about that story of Peter where he gets out of the he gets out of the boat and starts walking to Jesus. And of course, we know the application, like he takes his eyes off Jesus and then when you're no longer looking to him, you sink. But I love the way that we had an episode with Michael Whatley where he pointed this out.
For those of you who do not know, Michael Whatley is now the head of the Republican Party. In a recent show with Lara Trump, if you watch that show, he's one of those three individuals who is right now credited as being very important and very helpful. The other one is
very much so.
Mike Johnson and one more senator. I mean, they're powerful people, and Michael Whatley has been very instrumental in the turn that we're making in our nation.
Amen to that. And he was on this show. We'll actually link to that show because I would love for you to be able to hear him say this, but I'll paraphrase him. Which was that Peter had to have the wisdom to say, Jesus, call me. Call me, I'll ask me to come out. And it wasn't as though he got out and was like, Jesus, make me a conveyor belt of water and it'll just move me to you. He had to take those steps and walk.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I think that, like, I'm just going to look to Jesus means I'm just going to stand still, keep my eyes on him, and I'm not going to dare make a move.
Yeah, I'm not going to move. I'm going to wait here. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to step out of the box. I'm waiting on you.
Because even if I'm looking to you, Jesus, if I take a wrong step, I still could fall even if my eyes are on you. So I'm going to stand still and just have the water bring me to you. But he doesn't do that, and he can't do that.
That's right. And and every time, in the moment he did that, he began to sink. And every time we do that, look towards ourselves or our circumstances, we begin to sink.
What does that look like practically in our lives to look to Jesus? What are some action steps that we can take?
I would say practically, if you go by scripture, Romans 6:12 says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. So first things first, do not allow master sin any place to land in your life.
That's right.
Do not give him a beachhead. Beachhead is more a naval analogy. So let's say bridgehead, land analogy. But anyway, don't let him find a foothold in your life. So we were talking about this young man having a little bit of covetousness in his life. He was envious of another young man. And it's not like he was heavily envious, like his eyes were turning green, but just enough were said that you go, oh,
you wanted that.
You wanted that something that the other person had. If he is wise, he will quickly quench that and give it to the Lord and say, God, I'm grateful for what I do have.
That's right.
And what I do have is according to your sovereign plan. And maybe you gave me something less today to give me something much, 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 much more greater in the days ahead.
Wow.
So don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't deal with whatever that sin is. If it's lust, deal with it. If it's pride, deal with it. If it's self-preservation, deal with it. If it's insecurity, deal with it. Whatever it is that Satan is using to find a foothold in your life, immediately give it to God. Cut it out. And then do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members meaning your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your thoughts, everything as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. So my encouragement to people is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't let sin be anywhere in your life. And secondly, present every part of you to God.
Amen.
Amen. That's your action steps for the rest of the week, my friends.
I love it.
If you guys enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. We'd love to hear how you're applying these topics and these weekly wisdoms to your life. Also, a big thank you to our sponsors for making today's episode possible. And don't forget that you can support us by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And you can always support us financially at clearviewtodayshow.com. John, what do you want to leave our listeners with today?
Definitely want you guys to follow Dr. Abadan Shah on pray.com. We are closing in on 5K, but we really want to make that last push before the end of this week to get to 5,000 followers. You can also give and support. Thank you to everyone who is giving monthly on pray.com. We're thinking of a good way to shout you guys out every single week. And just thank you for your donations. It's because of you that we're able to continue the show and continue all of the great ministries here at Clearview. Real quick before we go, we are going live on May 23rd right here on the Clearview Today Show from 7 to 9 p.m. Make sure you call us 252-582-5028. We would love to pray with you on air as part of our 24-hour prayer vigil happening right here at Clearview Church.
That's right. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.
This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. If you're looking for a natural way to boost your health, Mighty Muscadine has you covered. From 100% muscadine grape juice to premium healthy supplements, every single product is handcrafted to bring you the best of this extraordinary superfruit. It's backed by science, and best of all, every muscadine grape is grown right here in the heart of North Carolina. But no matter where you are, Mighty Muscadine is your go-to for strength, health, and vitality. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com today and use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to get 10% off your next order. And every single time you use that promo code, you're helping us here at the Clearview Today Show continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thanks for your support. Thank you to Mighty Muscadine for sponsoring today's show. Now let's get started.